Hello, everybody. It is Melissa here for the Tapestry of Your Life podcast, and it is Teaching Tuesday. My family likes to, well, mostly my siblings, make fun of me for how I say Tuesday because I emphasize the T very heavily. But I love it. I like how I say words. It makes me laugh. It makes everybody else laugh, too. Okay, so one of the things that I've been studying is a little bit in Romans, and I got this phrase, get up, get dressed. So it comes from Romans 13, verse 14-ish. Okay, so in the Message translations, it says, get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourselves in Christ and be up and about. And so earlier in that chapter, he's talking about, you know, pay your taxes, owe no man anything but to love him, having like peace and order and all of those kinds of things, and getting along with the government and people in authority. And so he continues talking about that, and basically how you do that is by dressing yourself in Christ. Okay. And so that phrase, like, get out of bed and get dressed, just really stuck out to me. Like, we get up and we get out and we get dressed and we go for it. In the Passion Translation, it says, well, in verse 13, right before it, it says, and we must live honorably, surrounded by the light of this new day, not in the darkness of drunkenness and debauchery, not in promiscuity and sensuality, not being argumentative or jealous of others. Instead, fully immerse yourselves into the Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, and don't waste even a moment's thought on your former identity to awaken its selfish desires. So the footnote that says for live honorably to me means we walk with the designer. And so I was thinking about that with clothing, right? Okay, like what do designers do? Like when they're at fashion shows, what are they doing in the moment? Because they've already designed the clothes, right? So I was like, how does that work? Well, designers at fashion shows, a fashion show is basically a place for networking about clothes, okay? So it brings together the designers, the buyers, and the retailers all into one place, right? And these events allow the designers to showcase their work directly to the buyers, allowing them to assess quality, craftsmanship, and marketability, okay? Basically, our lives are a fashion show. Like, God is our designer. He is our creator. And the way we are dressed, like, God loves to just show us off. Like, we have different outfits. We have beautiful outfits. We have royal outfits. We have soldier and battle outfits. We have robes of righteousness and worship robes. And we have just so many different outfits that we can put on. And even different, like, anointings, right? Different accessories that can be gifts and different things that are added on in every stage of our life. And I think that that is awesome. Like, you watch like the models and people at the fashion shows and they strut their stuff. They have different ways of walking, different ways of talking, all of those kinds of things. And that is how we want to be. Because we are designed by Christ, we walk differently than the world does. And that is a wonderful thing because we want to be at the very top in every aspect. Like, we're supposed to be showing the world how to do things and how to run things, because as Christians, we're the ones who are blessed and we have access to God, like the creator who has built everything, knows how everything works, has all the wisdom, all the knowledge, all the revelation, the best strategy, and we are directly connected to that. So get up, right? In Psalms 17 verse 15, David is in the psalm and, you know, talking about how his enemies are nipping at his heels and he hopes that they basically have famine bread and a lot of different things. But he says, but at the end he says, but me, like for me, I plan on looking you full in the face. When I get up, I'll see your full stature and live heaven on earth. If we want to see heaven on earth, if you want to live, and I mean like live life and live heaven here on earth, and you want to look God in the face, face to face, that requires standing up, okay? That requires getting up, okay? We can't be, can't be downtrodden, oppressed, depressed, fearful. Like, if we want to live, we have to get up. So we can't be like looking down. People a lot of times who are oppressed and depressed and have anxiety and all sorts of things, they're not looking up. A lot of times they're looking down and their head is hanging down and you can see it physically in their bodies, like their body's being hunched over, right? Or maybe they're not smiling as much anymore and everything's just like being pulled down. That's not a good thing, okay? So people who are laying down, who are down, they're often on life support, right? They can't see anything clearly. Like when you are laying down, you're staring up at the ceiling, right? Or if you lay face down on your stomach, like I do when I sleep a lot of times, your face is in the pillow. Like I'm not looking at anything. And it makes it difficult to see, you know, people who are coming. If you've been in hospitals before, a lot of times, you know, you might have to lean over the hospital bed to actually see the person you want to talk to because they're just laying there, right? They're on life support. They can't participate. They can't work. They can't do anything. So we need to participate and live with heaven on earth. Like we need to get up and we need to stand our ground and we need to participate with the word of God and with the kingdom of God and with Holy Spirit and his strategies and his ways. In Ezra chapter 10, at the beginning, Ezra's laying like face down in front of the church, crying, confessing, praying, interceding for people. And people start gathering around him and, you know, weeping and confessing their sins and repenting. And so this crowd starts to gather and revival kind of starts to break out a little bit. And all of a sudden the leaders say to Ezra, like, now get up, Ezra, take charge. We're behind you. Don't back down. So Ezra stood up and had the leaders of the priests, the Levites, and all Israel solemnly swear to do what Shechaniah proposed, and they did it. So Ezra got up. There was a time to temporarily lay down, and he did that specifically for intercession and repentance to help wake up a nation. But Ezra did not stay down, right? He had to get up to take action. He had to get up to lead the people. Like, to get up, it is for something, right? We get up in the morning to go to work or to go take care of the kids or to make breakfast or to go do something, right? Whether it's creating, whether it's projects, whether it's building something, whether it's a regular office job, like you get up to go and do something, to be something, right? That is what Ezra did, and that is what we need to do. We need to get up. We don't want to be laying down or sitting down or like just watching life like pass us by or anything like that. Like we need to be part of it and moving forward and advancing the kingdom of God. Proverbs 21:25 says, "Lazy people finally die of hunger because they won't get up and go to work." It's okay to get up and go to work. A lot of times, especially Christians, get kind of stuck and feel like they have to be a preacher or a teacher or an evangelist or a prophet, you know, any part of the fivefold ministry, and that they have to be doing this and doing that, you know, they have to, all of this sort of stuff. If God calls you to be part of the fivefold ministry, then be part of it. But if God calls you to go be in construction or to go be a business owner or to go be a welder or to go be a teacher or to go be somebody who, like, takes care of kids, like, anything, whatever God calls you to do, that's what you're supposed to do. So, like, there's no pressure to be doing all of these other things. If God doesn't tell you to do it, then don't do it. So it's okay to work and like physically work, and you can also work for the kingdom and you work with your mouth too. So even if you're say a CEO of a company or you are somebody who like types in data or you work with human resources, work with kids, teenagers, whatever you do, like you can still also participate in the kingdom of God by working your mouth, like speaking the word, participating with the word, agreeing with the word and meditating on it, right? And you can also work with your hands, and that's the gathering the spoil part. So it is good to physically work, okay? Because work will bring satisfaction. And I don't mean like stress and toil work. I mean like work that God has told you to do, okay? So if it's, like I said, welding, construction, if it's mechanics, if it's teaching, if it's preaching, or it's working at a bank, or whatever job that you have, right? If that's what God wants you to do, then you do that and it will bring satisfaction. You won't be hungry. If you're hungry, that means you're empty and you're not satisfied. If you get up and go to work, work will help satisfy you because you're being obedient to God's instruction. Okay? Work does not replace God by any means, okay? And if all you do is work and you don't have a relationship with God, you will still be empty inside. But work will bring satisfaction in that because you're being obedient, you're following the word of the Lord, and you are putting forth effort and you are participating, okay? It's kind of like working with a car that's in motion. It's easier to steer a car that's moving, even if it's moving in the wrong direction, you can easily correct it, but you cannot really correct a parked car, right? If it's facing the wrong direction, you gotta either turn it on and, you know, just turn around and drive it, or you have to like go get a tow truck and pick it up and turn it around, and it's a whole lot of extra work when you could have just turned the key and turned it on, okay? So, work will bring life, not death. Okay, you won't die from working and putting forth effort. And again, I don't mean working like your whole life away and working like 80 to 100 hours a week. Okay, I normally mean like a regular job. Like God will give you the strength, you can work. Okay, all right. Proverbs 20, verse 13 says, "Don't be too fond of sleep, you'll end up in the poorhouse. Wake up and get up, then there'll be food on the table." So it's talking about, from what I gather, from how I interpret this, is, you know, don't be sleeping the day away, okay? People have different schedules, so they can sleep at different times. That's obviously not a problem, but people who are sleeping and not actually working, you will end up in the poorhouse, right? And so God says to wake up and get up, and then there'll be food on the table. Like, you can sleep, but sleep is not the priority. Especially if God wakes you up, like, you get up and you go. So, for example, Joseph and Mary left for Egypt in the middle of the night. Like, he got a dream from the angel. They're like, no, take your wife and your son and head to Egypt. And so they did. Samuel was woken up in the middle of the night. Like, the Lord was talking to him. Peter was woken up so that way he could leave prison. The angel had to, I imagine, like, elbow him and be like, "Peter, wake up. It's time to go." Like, Peter might have, you know, stayed in prison if he had not woken up. He would have stayed in prison. Ezekiel was woken up and God told him to go out to the plains or, like, the prairie to talk, basically, like, the fields. So, you can sleep, but sleep is not the priority. Like, if God wakes you up, then you get up. And if you are supposed to go to work, then go to work, you know? Okay. Judges 7:15 is the story about Gideon, and Gideon heard the army telling, like his enemies telling a dream and its interpretation, and he dropped to his knees before God in prayer because he heard the dream, which was like, you know, a big loaf of barley rolled down the hill, rolled into a tent, took out the tent, and that they knew it was from God because God was with Gideon and that he defeated the Midianites, and so that was the interpretation. So Gideon, here's this interpretation, drops to his knees before God in prayer, and then he goes back to the Israelites' camp and says, "Get up and get going. God has just given us the Midianite army." So he was on his knees in prayer, and he got the revelation of the interpretation, and when he got that revelation, he said, "Get up and get going." Like, they got up to take on and defeat an army. They got up to enforce the victory that God had already given them. Did you know God has already won the victory for you? He defeated death, hell, and the grave for you. Like, to enforce the victory, all we need to do is accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And you can say a simple prayer, something like, "Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my heart. I believe that you died on the cross for me, for my sins. I believe that you defeated death, hell, and the grave. I believe that your blood covers my sins and completely wipes them away. I believe that you rose from the dead in 3 days and that you are coming back again. And right now you are seated at the right hand of the Father. And I invite you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart." You say something along those lines and you are saved. And the Lord Jesus comes into your life and you will never be the same. And you enforce the victory that God has won for you. 100% full deliverance. Full deliverance from everything, from sickness, from poverty, from death, from destruction, from pestilence, from bugs, from everything, okay? So, yeah. And one more thing, with Gideon, right? He went on to take on the army, right? He actually got up and left to go and fight them. So he didn't wait for the enemy to come to where he was. He went out and he met them. He went on the offense, right? So sometimes you have to go out and meet your enemy and go on the offense and use the sword of the Spirit, use the word of God, and take your enemy out because he has already been defeated. That's how you enforce the victory. So I encourage you. That was just part of what I was teaching on. And I encourage you to get up. Get up and go. Like, go live life. You know, a lot of people put a lot of stress and pressure and decision making. You know, whether, like, just make a decision that you are going to go live life to the fullest with God, okay? With Lord Jesus. And he will guide you, and it will be the best time of your entire life. Like, every moment will be the best time. It only gets better and better with Jesus. So, get up and go. It's time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for listening.